Well, we continue to have firsts here at Shiloh Baptist, and our first graduating class, congratulations. It was such a blessing to walk with you half the year of your journey. I love that. But we also have our first college graduate. Taya Weir, will you stand up? Taya graduated from Boyce College with a major in humanities, but she graduated, she graduated magna cum laude. Good work. I love this morning how God is just working through so many people. It's so awesome to watch people come up here and students to listen to God work through your life. And then Chuck, who is behind the scenes every chance he gets, we get to watch God work through his life. I just love the fact that continuing to hear God's story through us. One question. Looks like I'm going to get through half of the sermon today, which is awesome. I want to ask a question. What is your priority in life today? And I'm going to have you answer me with that one, not rhetorical. So if you were to give our students a cup, and I'm not going to drag this on. If you were to have our students give them one priority that they needed to have in life, what would it be? Jesus Christ? Keep their faith? Daily quiet time every morning or every night? Believe and trust? Have a helper? Have a church family? I love that. That's about five of them. Students, you hear that? I think you've heard that before, haven't you? Once or twice. Let me ask you this, everybody. If you're willing to tell our students what their priority is, are you willing to take that too? Is knowing Jesus Christ your priority in life? And I really think we have to think about that as we move through into Philippians 3, because it's this chapter that will either ignite or strengthen your faith in Christ, or it'll take you to a different level that Paul wants you to get to in your spiritual maturity. When you visit a doctor and you wait for an hour in the waiting room, or you wait for the 4 hours in the ER, and we've all been there. Believe me, I worked there. I know all about that wait time. And I'll tell you why if you ask me after the service. But anyway, you don't go to the doctor with a complaint without wanting an answer, right? If you go to be treated, your doctor's not going to come in and say, hey, look, I know what's wrong with you, but I'm just not willing to tell you yet. Can you imagine getting that kind of an answer? And be billed. That's right. Keep them coming, people. We've gotten to that point today that Paul has culminated the encouragement. Paul is telling us straight up, listen, this is what you need to be treated. So how do we begin to improve our spiritual health as we navigate through Philippians 3? This passage will explain how we need to truly budget our account. And the thing about this is that relational budgeting leads to spiritual budgeting and what we have to collect. But everything we do, everything to do, has to do with what we don't have and what we give away. There's some three things I want you to see on the screen today that will just confuse your mind. This is where we're going to go. Our goals to maturity, as we look at this today, only by quitting is how you finish. Your victory depends on your surrender. And you win when you lose. When we read here in the beginning of Philippians 3, it's all about Paul. Who he was before he met Jesus. And if you open your Bible to Philippians 3, there's a warning. And here's the warning that Paul gives us. And there is like a bird buzzing us. And I know you played Eyes on the Sparrow, and that's not a sparrow flying in here. But there's, if it gets your way, I'm sorry, I can see that. Chapter 3, Paul, with a warning. He says, beware of the dogs. Beware of those evildoers of the flesh. And who's Paul talking about here? I think you need to understand where Paul's going with this. So before we get to our verses 7, here's what Paul is saying in the beginning of chapter 3. He says, look, there's some dogs out there. There's some evildoers that after I get done preaching and after I get done telling you that salvation is through grace and faith alone, they're going to say, no, that's not right. The true story is that you have to obey the Old Testament law. You have to get circumcised because this is necessary for salvation. Then you can be a Christian. And Paul is saying, do not believe what they're saying. Salvation cannot be attained by anything external. And if anyone thinks they have accolades, listen to what I'm about to tell you. This is what accolades are. These are what accolades are. He talks about his accomplishments before he knew Jesus Christ. He gives a little piece of his testimony. And perhaps you may read this and it sounds a little boastful. But look at chapter 3. He says, listen, I came from godly parents. I obeyed the law. I was circumcised on the eighth day, just like God's instruction was to Moses in the book of Leviticus. I did everything. And more so, I am from Israel. On top of that, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. He says, I am the Hebrew of Hebrews. His teacher was a man named Gamaliel. And Gamaliel sat on the Jewish council and is referenced as one of the premier teachers. And as for righteousness, he said, I was blameless. He said, I was a Pharisee, and I was so zealous that I was persecuting the church. I fulfilled the law perfectly. Now, why would Paul tell us everything that he was? Well, he takes that and tells us the next few verses the goal and who and how we need to be. It's a credibility thing. He said, listen, I've been there. I've done that. I've been in your shoes. He says, I know what's happening. Now listen to me. Follow these instructions because what is to follow is the ultimate goal. And to pull it forward, students, look up here. Many of us, if not all of us, have been where you are. Many of us have walked not quite in your shoes, but we've done so far as to go all the way through what you've experienced. Some of us have the t-shirt to wear it because we've been there. But it's not to say that your accolades don't matter. It's not to say that what you did wasn't for good. But what it says is, who did you do it for? And who gets the glory? I believe as we get to chapter 3, these are the most important verses as you prepare for this next journey. And parents, as you prepare your child or your young adult now for this next journey. It's relational budgeting through spiritual budgeting. And Paul does a great job of laying it out here. And what he says is that all those acquisitions, all those things that I have gained in my flesh mean nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So now that we've gotten to the verses, let's stand up together and read. I'd love for you to join me this morning. Paul says this, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Amen. You may be seated. May God's word be blessed today as we bring it. Verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted loss. As loss for the sake of Christ. The first point I want to bring up, we're going to have a fiscal outline. It's balancing the accumulating deduction. Balancing the accumulating deduction. Balancing what you've lost to measure your gain. The things we once collected, those things that determine who we thought, need to go away. Our assets, those things we looked to that were once our focus, are now our liabilities. Whatever we profited, whatever was taken in to elevate our own stature, now needs to be gone. Everything that was in my credit column is now in my loss column. All the things that were once gained pressed you into a savings of self-worth and entitlement. We're told now, let that market crash. It's a verse that expresses that whatever assets you accumulated in your life, in the flesh, become worthless. worthless as you seek a relationship with Jesus Christ. And even more so, the identity that once was, those things that we thought once defined us is gone. It's a legal change of identity. And we are encouraged to allow that identity theft to occur. When you lose things or you get rid of things, you gain more space, right? You prepare your life to what Jesus is going to set out to do in your life. And the most important thing I want you to hear is that Jesus will not take these former things. Love doesn't take, love gives. So in order for this to happen, in order for you to understand this part, you must be willing to give. And when you give, and you give because you understand what you have gained in return, your return on investment is eternal life. Students, many of you are graduating with incredible accolades. You've scored high on ACTs. You may have had some music awards, some great awards, some drama awards. But now you're on the next level. And whether you go to college, or whether you start into work, or whether you go into a vocation, you're going, and Paul says, those awards you gain, they mean nothing. They mean nothing compared to the relationship you have with Jesus Christ. And our church encourages you that. Seek that relationship. Continue that relationship. Don't misunderstand me. We know that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae in chapter 3, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So then ask yourself, well, why did I work so hard? Well, you work hard because it's not about you. You work the talents. You work about the talents and for the talents that God gives you. Here's another thing. The reason why many of us don't deal well with losing is because we believe that our losses really reflect who we are. But it's not about a we. It's about a he. You see, the person who understands the losses for the sake of Christ and the one who seeks the face of Jesus Christ is the person that's willing to pay anything required, whatever the price, whatever the cost, willing to abandon it all. And we hear that story about the rich young ruler in Mark 10, where this rich young ruler absolutely runs up to Jesus Christ and kneels before him. How do I inherit eternal life? And in so many words, Jesus says this. This is what you have. This is what you possess. Are you willing to give it all up for me? This is what you have. This is what you possess. We give it all up for me. As you remember, the man followed the rules in life. He was a good person. He did everything. But when he said, you must give everything else up, he walked away from Jesus Christ. Many of us walk away from Jesus Christ to receive our fleshly rewards. And so what happens is he keeps his possessions, but he loses his eternal soul. And we can assume that he died with the most toys, but he didn't win. He made a foolish decision without making the decision, and every person faces that choice when they meet Jesus for their salvation. Jesus Christ said, I will save your soul, and you will have eternal life if you'll give up everything you put your trust into. And their eternal destiny, our eternal destiny, is determined by that answer. And just because you come from a Christian home and just because you follow the rules and you're a good person, your family has always gone to church, doesn't get you to heaven. You must be born again. You must be saved and give your life to Jesus Christ. It's a decision that you yourself need to make. Paul goes on to say that even though that was once profit, what I thought elevated myself in stature, now a loss, he says in verse 8, more than that, I count things to be lost in view of surpassing value of knowing Christ my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and I count them rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Some of your versions will say, I count them garbage. Balancing the suffering with the gain. Balancing the suffering with the gain. We are taking into account that it's okay to bear that burden by losing it all. Not just what Paul gained, but anything aside from the privilege of knowing Jesus Christ. It's telling us that he lays all he is and all he has alongside Jesus Christ. And he sees everything that he lays beside Jesus Christ as garbage. To even put it more bluntly, what garbage, the word that's really used, is dung. Anything compared to Jesus Christ, any accolades that elevate us, is nothing compared to what Jesus Christ offers. What are those things in your life that hinder you from a walk with Christ? The biggest thing I believe that hinders us is our schedule. It's not the travel, it's not the sports, it's not anything that we go. We choose to place those things in our way. Are those things really worth the price of hindering your walk with Jesus Christ? Just as a world-class athlete must lay aside certain things to be at the top of his game, the believer who wants to be all he can for Jesus must lay aside everything but Jesus in order to know him better. The problem we face today is that we end up adding Jesus to our life. The sufficiency of Christ. Jesus Christ is sufficient is key to knowing that. It's the tabs in our life. So many times in our computer, everyone with a laptop and a PC or whatever that looks, we are clicking to open up tabs in our life. So much so that we can't even read the tabs that we have open sometimes. And then our computer runs slow. Or we're on our phone, students, and you're going through your phone, you're going, why is this not going through? And then you have to clear out your pages. Well, Jesus Christ isn't a page on your phone. He's not a tab on your computer. He's it. We have to get through life by not adding Jesus Christ to our life, but moving those things out and have an empty account. Amen? Amen. The whole point of these verses is to cause us to see that knowing Jesus is more valuable than anything in our life. You don't add Jesus Christ to your moralities. When we figure that out, then others don't see us or the successes in our life. They see Jesus Christ. When Paul came to Jesus, he counted all his assets as losses. God bless you. And this he continued to day by day. And I'm talking about this mindset. Jesus Christ is first in my life, and I will allow nothing to come between him and I. Can we say that as a church today? Not just Shiloh, but churches today. If we compromise and say, look, I'm going to add this to church. I can do it. I know how to multitask. Many churches today, many relationships we believe today are adding Jesus Christ. We can't do it. It's easy to allow things to cloud your vision. In fact, just about anything in life will allow us to eclipse Jesus Christ. The faithful growing Christian is the one who is always looking for ways to deepen their relationship. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, right? He is a new creature. The old things have passed away. And what? New things have come. New doesn't mean renewed. New doesn't mean reformed. New doesn't mean renovated. New means new. It's a new set of values, new standards, a new motivation in life. It's an intentional decision to throw out this garbage and the rewards of today and grow in Christ. Paul speaks of this advantage and this excellency. Paul says that him just being able to know Jesus Christ is a privilege beyond compare. And here's referring to the knowledge that comes by the experience. It's one thing to hear someone talk about Jesus and who he is and what he can do. It's quite another to experience him for yourself. Paul says that knowing Jesus is worth more than anything in life, anything that he can give up. To know someone means that you have developed a relationship with them through spending time with them. To know Jesus in a personal, intimate way is an incredible blessing. Paul says that, I just don't want to know about Jesus. I don't want to just sound like Jesus. I want to know him. I want to know him intellectually, experientially. I want to see what's done by reading about Jesus' life and the work that he did. To know him in salvation is just the beginning. Every mile we walk with Jesus Christ reveals more of his glory. Every burden reveals his refuge. Every step exhibits his power and presence of Christians in our lives as Christians. All of life is but garbage compared to Jesus Christ. I have to go on. I'm sorry. Then we go to the next point. We balance the settlement with the investment. And I'll just hit this for a minute. And may be found in him not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to hit on this because it's important. I use the word settlement there. There is no settlement. Because I want to stress to you that receiving Jesus Christ is a free gift of salvation. Amen? What I want to pull out of this verse as quickly is Paul knew his credentials. He knew all his family associations. He knew his achievements. A mountain did nothing as he stood beside and before Jesus Christ. He wanted to stand before God, not in his own works and goodness, but in the righteousness of his Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew that if he appeared as himself within what he had done, his fate would have been determined. But he also knew that if he appeared there in Jesus, if he appeared in Jesus, he would be accepted in heaven, experience eternal life. And this is why I want to hit on this. Paul knew that the instant he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, the righteousness of Christ was applied to his account. There was direct deposit. The righteousness is given on the basis of faith alone. To be in Christ, means that we have accepted his sacrifice as payment for our sins. Our life account contains every sinful thought. Students, hear me with this. Every sinful thought. Adults, every sinful thought, attitude, action we have ever committed. No amount of self-reflection, self-help book can make us pure enough to warrant forgiveness from a holy God. We read in Romans, none is righteous. No, not one. The Bible says that in our natural sinful state, we are enemies. When we accept his sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf, he switches accounts with us. Our list of sins is exchanged for his perfect account, and that is totally pleasing to God. It's a type of divine exchange, and that takes place as you kneel at the cross. To enter the presence of a holy God, we must be hidden in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So to be in Christ means that God no longer sees our imperfections, but he sees the righteousness of his own son. Amen. This morning, if there's a struggle in your life and you'd like to kneel to the cross this morning and surrender and empty what you're carrying, I invite you to the altar this morning. If it's a relationship with Jesus Christ that you desire, we would love to pray with you and to let you know how it is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If today is a day that you feel led to join our Shiloh Baptist Church family, we would love to have you come up here and give you a hug and welcome you to our family. Let me pray for you and then we'll sing. Father, thank you for our time this morning. Father, sometimes it just feels like our time goes on, but Lord, I pray that in your book, in the Bible, that we take these encouragement from Paul and we pull out the things that we need to understand about who Jesus Christ is, and he's all that we need. Father, this morning, if there's one who needs prayer, Father, I allow them to come forward and to pray and kneel their burdens at the cross. Father, to give you all that they have so you can enter in their life and begin to work. Father, if there's one who wants to accept or desires to accept or is called to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, may you equip us to help them. And Father, we would love to bring others to our Baptist family at Shiloh. Father, we thank you for our time this morning. We love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.